Hey everybody, welcome to one of these. I'm going to the periodontist. I know I promised, I was like, I didn't promise, I don't promise shit about fuck. I said, well, we'll see if I have anything to talk about, and if I do, then I guess I'll record. I don't know that I fulfilled the first part of that. I guess we'll just kind of have to see as we go. Has Peter found something to talk about? That's a great question. For both you as listener and me as talkster. But here we are. Whenever I get in the car and turn on the GPS to like try and go somewhere, I feel like it's always, like right now it's telling me I'm going to get there 1 minute before, my appointment, which is fine. Like, I feel like this is appropriate, but I was just thinking like someday I want to get in the car and go somewhere, and it's like, you're going to be there like 8 minutes early. And I'll be like, awesome. Because that's not 8 minutes early on a 20-minute drive or something. And I'm like, hey, look at me. Look how early I'm going to be. Instead of, you might get there in time, but any slight slowdown. It's so funny because you hit the road, so it's like 3:45 right now. So schools are getting out and stuff, and I get why it's busy, but I'm just like, how do parents like get to their kid's school and pick them up? Is like picking your kid up from school just one of those things you can ask your boss for that they can't really say no? You're like, I gotta pick up my kid from school. So I feel like most places I work, or like most people I've talked to, if they have kids, they also have a job. And it doesn't seem like everybody is just leaving work at 3:30 in the afternoon to go pick up their kids, but maybe they are, and I just have never noticed. My immediate work team, and people I work with, there aren't very many parents who have, like, school-age kids. So, maybe it's not a big deal. I don't know. I don't love it. I gotta be honest, I don't love it. This makes me sound awful, but I just don't love... I don't love that if you were a boss, you would sort of have to be like, yeah, go ahead and pick up your kids. Because then it's like, I don't know. That was a lifestyle change that you've made, right? And now I got to like figure out how to accommodate that right in the middle of the day. And then when they're picking their kids up from school, are most people like leaving work and then they go immediately back to work? Like they drop their kids off at home and go back to work? I assume they're not, because if they were doing that, wouldn't the kids just ride the bus or something, probably? So I gotta assume they're not actually doing that. I assume that they are going home for the day. And it's like, all right, it's 3:45. When are you starting work? I mean, when are you working? I was talking to a friend of the show, and he was saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of doing what you'd do, like a 10-hour day, because he goes to work. And then in the middle of the day, he takes a 1 hour, he goes to the gym, and then an hour lunch. And I was like, hold on. Because when I say I'm working a 10-hour day, that means it's an 11-hour total day with an hour lunch in there. And then I go exercise afterwards. Like a 10-hour day to me is like, yeah, you're at work for 10 hours. Not like I left the house and then came back 10 hours later. So it's like, let's just be clear about... how horrible my life is. I'm totally in the middle of, more midlife career crisis. I know that's thrilling to hear about. It's funny because I've just, Poon Master Flex and I were talking the other night and it was quiet. And I was just like, well, okay. So before we were talking, it was quiet. And I said, can you give me like a pep talk? And she's like, I don't know what that means or like what you're talking about. And I was like, listen, I don't know what to do with my life. And like, I'm having a hard time imagining a job that I would truly enjoy. Like, I don't know if I know what that is. And so, right now I'm looking at jobs around where she lives, right? And it's really difficult because like, there's one job that looks all right and it's got some possibility, but we'd be talking an hour... ish hour to hour and a half commute every day, and that would either be taking the train for an hour and a half each way, or driving, and it would probably take slightly less, hour to hour and 15. But, you know, I'd have to leave an hour and a half early, too. So 3 hours every day commuting, and I'm just like, that just doesn't sound... I don't know if I can do that. Like, I don't know if that's going to work for me. And I don't know if that would make me happy. You know, and she's like, well, we can move, so we're halfway between your job and my job. And I'm like, well, then I still have a 45-minute commute, and now you have a 45-minute commute. You know what I mean? It just seems like a tough proposition, and that I'm not real... It makes it hard to get excited about taking this sort of, like, new... This new thing, right? This new venture, because you're like... They're already, before even taking it, I'm thinking about, like, I don't know if I want to do that. Okay, I know that I don't want to commute an hour to work every day. Like, is that a deal breaker for me? And I don't think I want to commute an hour to see Poon Master Flex every day either. You know what I mean? Or, like, if I have to commute an hour every time I have to see Poon Master Flex, that's going to be so difficult. Because I'm going to want to see her, but I'm not going to want to make that drive. You know what I mean? You get off work, you go exercise or whatever, you, like, got all this shit to do at home, and you're like, all right, now I got to drive and go see my girlfriend. And, I mean, imagine that. Imagine you basically just funnel your commute to seeing your significant other instead of going to work. On the one hand, I think it makes the drive less stressful, because it's not like you must be here by this time every day and so on and so forth. But on the other hand, you know, then I would presumably be driving back the next morning, right? And then have that commute or whatever. So even if we lived separately, closer to our own workplaces, we would both be doing the same thing, which is like, well, I'm not commuting to work every day, but I'm commuting to see my significant other every other day. And I just don't know if that's a great setup for me, because I feel like a commute that's not required is one that's like, I don't know if I'll want to make all the time. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. The job looks really cool, and the job looks a lot of fun, but it's the idea of, like, actually getting there and doing that stuff. I mean, I just want, like, it's sad to me. I think one of the sad conditions of life is that it's become such a high fantasy for me to live in a place where we're close to both of our workplaces. So in other words, we could live in the same place and both be like, you know, 10, 15 minutes tops to work. And it's sad to me that that has, like, attained the level of high fantasy to me. Like, that's been, well, yeah, you might as well dream for just to have, you know, hey, driverless cars are coming. You might as well just dream about that and how great that's going to be. That'll solve your problem. And it's like, yeah, I guess so. I just remember reading this thing that was like, you know, how happy people is often tied directly to how long their commute is. And boy, do I think that's true. I mean, it's just when you're commuting a lot, you know, and I did the math on it too. And I was like, okay, so 3 hours a day, that's 15 hours a week commuting. And it's just like, I just don't think I want to spend 15 hours a week doing something I don't want to do. You know what I mean? Doing something to prepare for work and doing something that's sort of just... I mean, imagine if you just worked even a crappy job for 15 hours a week. You know what I mean? It would be amazing. See, now I'm stuck in this fucked up position because I got over to the left to let this guy in, but he's going really fast. And the other car behind him is coming up behind him really fast. And they, like, I think want to overtake me on the right, but then they're stuck. So, okay, now they left me some room. Oh, God, they're in one of these Porsche SUVs. That Cayenne. That is one of the stupidest cars I've ever seen. I mean, that motherfucker's got to be so expensive, right? A Porsche SUV. And yet, why would you want... Like, if you're going to get a Porsche, get a Porsche. And if you're going to get an SUV, get an SUV. I just feel like if you're getting a midsize SUV, just accept that you're going to get, like, a, you know, Honda whatever or a Toyota whatever. And just call it a day. I don't understand. I don't understand what's so fun about driving those. They don't seem fun to drive. I guess it's just like if you have a family or whatever, you gotta throw your kids in there, but I don't know. mean, we got along fine in sedans my entire life. Well, I guess not with my dad's side, but I mean, he was a moron and had four kids. That's too many. That is too many for one, I was going to say one parent, but one adult man. One chronologically an adult man. That's two. Four is way too many kids. No judgment, right, about having kids, but four is too many. I'm comfortable judging and saying that four is too many kids to have, really, for anybody. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of kids to take care of. And it's not like, you know, the choice between one and two, right? You're moving from, well, this is an only child situation to they'll have a sibling. Also, when you've got two, it's like, I mean, we're two people, so then we've created two people. That kind of evens out, right? But when you're like, you have that third kid, I would think most people would have that third kid and be like, okay, that's probably going to do. I feel like nobody has three kids. I feel like everyone has one, two, or, you know, five plus. Like, a normal amount, a slightly more, but still very normal amount, and then way too many. I don't know. There's something in that 3-4 range where it seems like separates the kid havers from the normals or whatever, the not kid havers. There's this like weird looking black helicopter flying around. I like how black helicopter is like this sort of like UFO conspirators helicopter of choice. Like, why would they, if I was the government and I was trying to spy on people, why wouldn't you just make it be like News 4 emblazoned on the side and they're driving around in this helicopter and you'd be like, I guess they're just looking, I don't know, going to a news thing, whatever. I always thought that by 2018 there'd be a lot more helicopters around. Like, didn't you think that road travel would kind of go by the wayside in favor of much faster modes of transportation, or like some kind of monorail that was like super fast and hung from the sky or something? I just always thought transportation is like among one of those things that I feel like is still fairly primitive. You know what I mean? I mean, is the car is a huge step up from like the covered wagon, right? In terms of ease of use and comfort and like what it provides in terms of mobility and stuff like that. But like driving itself, you know, going to your dentist's office is not like pleasant at all. It's not really enjoyable. There's a guy in a regular Porsche, right? And he's just sandwiched between these two cars going 3 miles over the speed limit or something like that. And you're like, well, thank God he bought this Porsche. I mean, I kind of think the thing with a car right now to me is like something that almost never breaks down, because, you know, that's a pain in the ass, and something that's pretty comfortable because you're just going to be sitting there. So you might as well be in something that you're like, I mean, it's pretty comfy. I guess if you're podcasting in the car, you should look for something that's quiet. But I just think all cars are quieter as you go. That's how it seems to me anyway. Ugh. So anyway, yeah, career-wise, I just don't really know what to do. You know, I don't know. I know what I like doing. I like writing stuff. I mean, and, you know, Boonmaster Flex was like, well, what do you do at work that you get a sense of accomplishment from? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I really feel that way about work. This all sounds so negative and like I'm complaining, and I'm really not. It's like just the way I think about work is so different. Like, I hadn't really thought about work in a long time as the way of the way to happiness or fulfilling necessarily. But, you know, I was like, yeah, sometimes I feel like proud of myself if I write a good Lit Reactor column that I think turned out really well. And I was like, but see, this is the problem is like, this is the problem with that stupid thing they do. This is like the dumbest thing in the world, because they're like, just, you know, find something you like and do it for a job. And I'm like, okay, well, I can write for a job. The problem is no one's going to pay me. And, you know, would writing like a technical bulletin for something be the same? No. Like, that's not going to be fun. I mean, I think that's kind of how I ended up in libraries, right? Is I was like, I like books. So this is like book related and adjacent, but it's not what you think. And it's not, being close to the thing you like is not always better. And sometimes it's worse. You know, it's like, well, hey, if you like this girl, you guys go to the same high school, you know, and she's dating someone else. Well, double date with them. Go on double dates with them all the time. And that way you can still be close and be good friends with her. And, you know, even though you can't date her. And it's like, oh, I don't know if I'd suggest that. I don't know if I'd suggest that so much as like, listen, if you really want to date someone and it's not going to happen, then probably just don't hang out with them more. Don't hang out with them in a romance situation with the person that they've chosen to date. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. And it's kind of the same thing with jobs. You know, I like cars. Oh, okay, well, you should work in a car manufacturing plant. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if being... I think this is the thing. Being close to the thing or doing something that's sort of related to the thing, so different from doing the thing. I mean, if I had to, like, put out, like, a goofy-ass book like a Save the Arcade once a month and that was my job, that would be fucking great. And I would enjoy the shit out of that. I don't know if I'd want to do it forever, but I would do that. But I can't. Because nobody, you know, I can't, like, I have to support myself, right? And by support myself, I mean, like, make some money. Those things don't provide... I think in total in Amazon, I've maybe made like $40 in, you know, 8 years or whatever. So it's, you know, and I get it. I'm not, that's not a complaint about that. Like, no one has to buy my shit. I'm just saying that that old saw about like, you know, oh, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And it's like, that's true, but hopefully doing what you love, it's a lot more convenient if doing what you love, you know, is, if what you love is painting walls, then yeah, you're going to be in fucking great shape. I mean, you're going to have a blast and you will never work a day in your life because every day you'll be painting the wall, you know, or if what you love is navigating weird email situations in a workplace, then, I have great news for you. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's the kind of thing that most people would say they love. I think it's the kind of thing most of us do to sort of be reasonably employed and sort of reasonably in what we love. But man, I'm just not feeling it. You know what I mean? I'm not feeling that as love exactly. So it's tough, right? I don't know. That just seems like it's always struck me as bad advice, but I don't know if I could put it to words so much, but now I think I could, because it's like, I know what I love to do or what I would tolerate doing, and it's still work. Like, it's not the easiest thing in the world, and it's not like, yeah, playing video games. That's a perfect example, right? You'll tell someone, like, what do you like to do, and do that, and they're like, I like playing video games. So they're like, okay, well, why don't you work at a video game design company? And it's like, because I don't like making video games. I like playing them. You know what I mean? I don't like shelving books in order. I like reading them. I mean, I don't like all books and the existence of books as a general thing. I like a lot of books that I think are really good. You know what I mean? It's just so different. It's like such a... It's so different to say you like a thing versus like versus getting involved with that thing and getting involved with it in a way that is satisfying and that is a work way. I mean, you know, it almost sometimes feels like you know, oh, I'm interested in this, so I did it. And I've got this job that's related to it, but the job is just sort of a perverse shadow version of what I really want, and it almost makes it worse because it's like I can sort of taste and see what I really want. It's, you know, it's going on the double date with the girl that you like, but she's not dating you, she's dating someone else, and you're like, this is kind of like going on a date with this person, because it's like we're together, we're eating at the same place at the same time, we're talking to each other. But it's also kind of painful, because you're like, I'm just being very confronted right now with a version of my life that I like that is not mine, you know? Or like, I'm very aware right now of the difference between, the gulf between what I would want and what is actually happening. I mean, whereas if I just stay home and play Castlevania, I'm not probably thinking about that all the time, or not being directly confronted with it. I mean, who wants to be directly confronted all the time with the ways in which their life is not working? And I think that's like a... Boy, is that a piece of advice I'd give to an aspiring writer. It's like, hey, you can work in a bookstore or a library, but holy shit, you're just going to be like, nobody cares about this. Like, nobody cares about what I care about, really.
So there you go.
It's probably worthless to try and do the thing sort of that you want. I mean, you might as well just do something totally unrelated and then do the thing you want the way you want in the context that you want and not have to make money from it. I mean, maybe this is my career crisis in a nutshell, right? Is sort of like, okay, so there's this job that I like the idea of and it sounds pretty good. But on the other hand, it robs me of 3 hours a day and 15 hours a week. And if what I really want is to work in order to have time to do these other things, that's not going to help me very much. I mean, even if you think about it like this, if I could telecommute, I'd have to telecommute twice a day or twice a week to be 16 hours, right? And so that would basically just make up for the commuting that I would have to do.
So, I don't know.
It's not ideal. I'll give you that. It is not fucking ideal. I don't know, man. But I think part of it, too, is I'm just so burned out on movement and traveling and, like, not having just time to not do anything. I mean, I'm always doing something. You know what I mean? I'm always going somewhere. I'm always working. I'm always doing, you know, these other peripheral work type things. And I think I'm just like, just the very concept of now picking up and moving and having a new job and like then sort of continuing being in transit all the time as I get to that new job. It's just like, ugh. I mean, really, doing the math, 15 hours a week is my commute to the workshop, right? And it is a significant chunk of time. And, like, we could take out the work commute. So I would say 20 minutes each way. So 40 minutes a day. 200 minutes. So, like, 3 hours. So it'd be about 5 times my commute to work now. And it's like, even if when I was there it was better, is it worth the 3 hours? Like, I don't know. That's a hard question, right? Or, you know, if I live an hour away from where Poon Master Flex lives, right, and we have to visit each other, all right, think about this. Well, right now it takes me, I don't know, 5 hours to travel to Oregon. So it's 2 hours versus 5, but, you know, how much better is that? Like, it's better. Don't get me wrong. It's an improvement. But is it enough? I don't know. I don't know. There are a lot of tough questions. Oh, shit. Backed up. Somehow we got backed up on a left turn lane that we should not be backed up on. Oh, and there's an emergency vehicle coming. Oh, scoot forward, you fuckers. Oh, I think there might be a wreck up here. Now there's cars coming straight. I'm stuck. We're screwed. I hope everyone gets through on this protected turn arrow. Oh, thank God. It all came up Millhouse. Okay. Oh, there's stopped emergency vehicles here, I see. Okay, I'm not going to look. because I don't care, and everyone's got to look. But it's like, don't look, just keep going. You don't have to go 25 miles an hour for an accident on the other side of the highway. Isn't it unbelievable how we just can't help but look? Like, how it's just so hard to not look, even though it's like, when I think about this rationally, I think, am I interested in this wreck? And I'm like, not really. I mean, what am I going to see?
The only thing that would interest me is, I guess, if it was like, oh my God, that's so-and-so's car.
Someone in Portland who I was talking to at the workshop was talking about living there, and like, she rides her bike a lot and stuff. And was saying how, you know, people will yell at her outside of their cars and stuff, like if she goes through a red light or something like that. And she's like, something that happens out here a lot is people are not, adults are not like afraid to correct the behavior of other adults. Like, they will just do it. And she said that, and I was like, ugh, that I don't like. I don't love that. Like, that to me, maybe I misinterpreted it. It just smacks of people being in other people's business all the time. It's like, oh my God. I don't know. Maybe I would like it, because maybe I'm like an etiquette person. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Someone is telling this fucker, like, hey, do what's right. Maybe not. It was funny, though, because so she was saying she commutes on her bike a lot. And she's like, it's a very bike-friendly city overall. And she's like, but, you know, people will honk at me and flip me off because I'll go through a red light if I'm just sitting there. And she's like, I think it's safer because, like, then I'm out ahead and the cars see me and stuff. And she's like, it's not like I don't look and just blow through. It's like I look first, and I'm sort of like, I mean, all right. Here's what I'm going to give to a cyclist. I want to run the red light too, right? Like, I want to go through. And it doesn't seem any safer for a cyclist to run a red light than a car. Like, it doesn't. I think the purpose of the red light is still valid, whether you're on a bike or in a car. And you're not really, I don't know what you're really trying to do, trying to like justify running the red light. Because it's like, look, if you're running the red light, just be like, I figure I'm on a fucking bike. It takes me longer to get there. All right, I'll give you an example. It's freezing outside. I would probably be like, eh, you know what? This motherfucker is probably freezing their ass off. So they might as well go through. And I wouldn't want to just sit there in the wind waiting for the light to change.
But on the other hand, I think it's just like, the thing is
like, I don't like when bikes do stuff like that, because I don't want to hit a bike with my car. Like, I don't want to hit a person with my car, or, and especially not a person on a bike. And that makes it more difficult, or more likely that I'm going to hit someone with my car when they're on a bike. Because, you know, if someone comes flying through an intersection that they're not supposed to be coming through, I mean, I probably have an increased chance of hitting that person versus not. This happened one time in Greeley. I was behind these bikes, and they were going down an avenue, like a really long avenue. There's no stoplights, stop signs, and by the university. And there is a bike path, like, that's set off from the road, but they were in the road, and that was fine. And I was very politely, followed at a very polite distance behind. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get all up on them or anything, even though they were going slower than a car. But, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, no big rush. We're just going downhill. They're just kind of cruising. They're taking up the road, and that's fine. Like, that's their right. But then we get to the light, and man, they blew through that fucking thing and barely even stopped. They barely even slowed down. You know what I mean? They just kind of blew right through it. And I honked at him because I was like, what the fuck, you guys? Like, come on, that's not cool. And the lady on the bike turned around and flipped me off. Like, I was being an asshole. Like, fuck you. I'm on a bike. I do what I want. And I was just like, hey, this isn't cool. Like, I was totally cool with you not, you know, using the bike lane. I was totally cool with you being on the road. It's just that you don't, I think that, like, as a motorist, you don't like it when bikes want to have it both ways. They're like, I kind of want to be a car when it's safer and more convenient, but I kind of want to be a bike or a vehicle or a pedestrian in a way as well. Like, I just want to be everything all the time. I think that's really frustrating. I think that's a really challenging idea and like a, I don't know. It's horrible. Like, it's horrible when that happens. Because you just, someone else in the workshop is from Kentucky. And so he was talking about how, like, yeah, they've done some stuff to try and make the city where I'm from, like, more bike-friendly and so on and so forth. And he's like, but I gotta be honest, like, you know, when they go up beside you at the light or, like, they just blow through intersections and stuff. And he's like, it's kind of hard to like someone on a bike. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Like, I'm not saying I hate cyclists. I'm not saying that bike commuting's a bad idea. But it's hard to like when you see them doing something that you can't do as a motorist. You know, like, there's all these red light cameras. Like, I just went through this intersection. There's all these fucking cameras that'll take your picture if you go through a little late on a red light, right? But then it's like, if you're on a bike, you could just blow through, I guess. It's fine. It's a weird world, isn't it? How we get around. Ugh. I'm going to be almost right on time. I always think, like, right on time, you know? But then, because I'd always, back in the day, it was like, I feel like a 5 minutes. You had an easy 5 minutes because it's like, eh, I mean, who knows what our clock is exactly. And, like, maybe his watch says whatever. But now with phones, everyone's convinced that their phone is like, my phone is the end-all be-all of what time it is. And I'm like, I guess so, except for, like, I've seen phones that say different fucking times. So I don't know if there's an end-all be-all, but everyone thinks that, so you're kind of fucked. Or your computer. Everyone's like, your computer is always right. My computer at work is, like, 7 or 8 minutes off and has been forever. And I can't change it because that's like an administrative function. This is like the perfect example of like the workplace where you're just like, seriously, at Microsoft, they were like, let's set these admin levels. And included in that will be the clock time. I'm like, why wouldn't you let me set my clock time? Or at least give me a button that's like, can I push this button and it'll resync the clock? Like the clock will reach out to whatever and be like, hey, am I telling the right time, or is this completely fucked up right now, what I'm doing? This thing, what I'm doing right now, is this totally wrong, or just a little bit wrong? Ugh, missing the protected arrow. That's wonderful. And there's like no, there's cars are so far back. Like, I can't even see the end of the line of cars waiting to go. Guys, Colorado is in trouble. I don't know how else to say this, but, like, this is insane. You just, like, see this line of car. I mean, it's 4:15 on a Wednesday, and the traffic is, like, out of control. This is, like, yeah, it's, like, back to where we started, because I'm thinking, it's 4:15. Like, who gets off work at 4 o'clock? And, like, regularly? Like, how? It seems like everybody. It kind of seems that everybody gets off work at 4 o'clock, except for me, I guess. It's like, yeah, I mean, I've been off at 4 o'clock today, and again, I'll be off at 4 o'clock in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks on a Monday because I worked the previous Saturday. So, like, I don't know, one out of every 25 days I'll be off at that time. I mean, give me a break. Wrong place now. Yep. Wrong parking lot. Good. Because I had all the time in the world. I just went into like a daycare center. Cool. This is exactly the kind of place you want to drive around with a weird microphone. So yeah, like this daycare center is empty. Nobody here. So where'd all these kids go? Also, who decided, like, okay, well, parents are at work from 9 to 5, you know, back in the day. When should kids go to school? I don't know, 8 to 3? Like, yeah, you know what they should do is have a weird time. Like, the start time makes sense because it's like, all right, well, if the kid's got to be at work at 8 and I got to be at work at 9, that gives me a good amount of time. But then they're getting off 2 hours earlier. That's like the worst amount of time to have between kids getting off school and, you know, me getting off work. That doesn't make any fucking sense, does it? I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. Maybe the dentist here has been asking if I found the building okay because they relocated, but also because I'm always like 2 minutes late. So she's like, maybe he's lost, or that's my time to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm late. Maybe she's opening that opportunity for me and I'm just too stupid. And now, even though I've thought it, I'm not going to say it. Somebody should.